The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Let's return to a topic that we've talked an awful lot about in the last couple of days, and that is the impact of war in the Middle East. And the world's attention has been switched to Iran and the conflict that was started by Israel when they started firing missiles and Iran started fighting back. You can go back into detail about preparations for nuclear weapons if you want, but Iran opened a second front in what they consider as their war on terror. The first front continues, and the impact on the people who are still in the Gaza Strip is significant. Peter Power is the Executive Director of UNICEF Ireland. He's with us in our Marconi House studio. Peter, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Jonathan.
If you weren't engaged, you'd think that this problem has gone away, but it hasn't.
No, it hasn't gone away. And we're now facing, over the last week or so, the real worst case scenario, a scenario that really should horrify all humanity. Our people on the ground are describing what they're seeing and hearing as chilling, that it is barbaric what is happening, that it's really inhumane, and that there's just no justification whatsoever for what is happening in Gaza at the moment, and that the blockade must end and the hostages must be released. But what's happening at the moment simply cannot continue.
What is happening on the ground? Because we know that the aid that is being distributed in a way that is exposing people to risk. There are people who are dying every day as they try to access that aid. And that aid is, my understanding, is in a very specific location that might not suit where people actually are in the Gaza Strip.
Correct, yes. The situation on the ground is that there used to be 400 aid distribution points at which UNICEF and other agencies were involved in. That is now down to 4. Against all principles for delivery of humanitarian aid. And the net result is, and we're seeing it every day now, over 110 children are presenting at our malnutrition centres suffering from acute malnutrition. I mean, that's by definition, that's a failure of the aid system. Before, there was large amounts of aid getting in, and we were able to distribute it. We've been able to get some aid in since the 19th of May, a limited amount of trucks, but a limited amount of humanitarian assistance. But it is nowhere near enough what is needed. And the proof of the pudding is that people are starving, people are hungry, and people are now putting their lives at risk. And nobody should have to choose, Jonathan, between dying of hunger on the one hand and then risking their lives to get food on the other. That's why I call this is inhumane.
These are famine conditions. If you have 100 yes. children presenting every day with severe malnutrition when there is food readily available miles away.
Yes.
Can you make sense of that?
No, I cannot. And I don't think anybody can make sense when we have enough aid in our warehouses to fill 1,000 trucks of aid, of humanitarian assistance to give to people who are starving. And I can't square that circle. And as I said at the top, there's absolutely no justification for withholding aid at this level. And what the biggest concern now is that fuel is not getting in at anywhere near the rate required. Fuel is what powers the desalination plants. When I was there just before the war broke out, I visited the desalination plant just south of Gaza City, and I saw it's hungry for electricity to power the membranes which desalinate the water. If those membranes, if the power is stopped, those membranes break down and you can't just replace them. The plant is effectively rendered inoperable. And water is what powers the trucks to deliver water. It powers the pumping stations. It powers the wells. And fuel is not getting in to power all those things. So there's a chronic lack of food, but now the chronic lack of fuel to power the distribution of water is of perhaps what's of greatest concern to us, because the combination of both means that malnutrition, acute malnutrition, will skyrocket now.
Because of this incredibly fast news cycle that we are on in the Middle East, and, you know, it's overtaken today by the NATO conference that's been happening in The Hague. We had a 12-day war, as it was described, between Iran and Israel. The focus has very much gone off Gaza. I'm presuming that Israel, as part of what they have been trying to do, that suits an agenda. It doesn't suit the agenda of the innocent people in Gaza who have been trying to get support here. So is there any hope that we will be able to help these people on an international level? Or, dare I say it, have they been forgotten?
Well, that is the question now. Are the families and people and children of Gaza being forgotten? We have to hope that the international community, we see an awful lot happening at the European level now, obviously at the political level. But on the ground, we have to have hope, because if we don't have hope, there is nothing but despair, because these people really badly need help at the moment. And it is just not getting in at the rate needed. And it's not just food, Jonathan, although that's important. It's not just fuel. It's not just water, but things like vaccines, things like medical equipment, the wide range of humanitarian assistance that is needed is just not getting in at the moment. Like we're providing psychological support for children who've been traumatized by just watching what's unfolding in front of them. There's one child, 13 years of age, Abdul Rahman. He was queuing for food, just trying to get a box of food, ended up in a hospital after being shot and bombed at a food distribution centre. I mean, he died about 3 or 4 days ago. I mean, that runs against all principles of the distribution of humanitarian assistance, to deal with it in a distributed way, in a diverse way, and bring it to the points where people need it. Not asking people to walk, crawl, 10, 15, 20 kilometres to get it. I mean, that's survival of the fittest. And that's why I continue to use the word. What is happening, what is continuing to happen in Gaza now is utterly humane. It's barbaric. It's depraved.
UNICEF had warned about a substantial number of child deaths because of the shortage of food. I hate to say it, but it didn't happen at the scale you were talking about. And does that damage the argument perhaps that you're making?
Well, we said that children have already died. There's 57 recorded deaths of children dying from complications caused by malnutrition. There's 9,000 recorded cases of severe acute malnutrition. And just for your listeners, Jonathan, that is the worst form of malnutrition. That is children, they don't just need food. They need the highest levels of medical intervention, intravenous feeding, intravenous rehydration. They suffer from secondary conditions such as acute diarrhea, measles, pneumonia, and so forth. And that is happening on the ground. And as I said, the rates of malnutrition are doubling. And the number of children with acute malnutrition is rising now to 110 cases a day. We have hundreds of malnutrition centres around Gaza. Instead of distributing food at them, as we have been doing previously, we're treating the effects of acute malnutrition, and that should not be happening.
And how long before we see children dying of thirst if those desalination plants fail?
Very, very quickly. Water, as we all know, is essential to life. Water is needed for cooking. Water is needed for basic hygiene. The hygiene, the sanitation situation in Gaza is beyond description at this stage. But especially as the temperatures soar now in the hottest months of the year, without water, without adequate levels of food and other types of humanitarian assistance, which I have described, people who are really at the end of the tether now will die in even greater numbers. But as I said, we've already recorded deaths from malnutrition, and that is only going to rise substantially. And the killing thing is, excuse that expression, the worst part of this is that literally kilometres away, we have the solution. The gates need to be opened and the food needs to be given to people who need it. And we do not accept under any circumstances the excuse that it's going to be hived away for other organisations. That is just not correct. And no aid agency in Gaza will support that contention. We operate under the highest principles of humanitarianism. We have to bring the food and assistance to those who need it, and they need it very badly.
Peter Bauer, Executive Director of UNICEF, thank you very much for joining us. They won't let the food in. They won't let journalists in. And just a few kilometres away, everything is fine. It's a first world country. How do you try and reconcile that in 2025? Why are we not talking about this as opposed to all the other things that have dominated the headlines in the last while? Keep your texts coming.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.